They came from all around the world, some simply out of curiosity, others for the honor. Pope Benedict XVI had invited some of the world's most prominent artists, designers, writers, musicians, and filmmakers to the Sistine Chapel for a meeting of minds. The Pope began with an invitation to all artists to friendship, dialogue, and cooperation, something that art historian Elizabeth Lev says has been the signature of centuries of church history.
Well, to start out with, this Pope is an artist himself. The pianist Pope, which we have heard about from the beginning of his election, and we know about his life, is like King David himself, his quiet moments with his piano. And so he does have a tremendous affinity for art of all sorts, between literature and music, and of course the fine arts of painting, sculpture, and architecture. And a great many of the things that this that Pope Benedict XVI has been doing, in one way or another, trickle back into the art world. His interest in the liturgy, for example, one of the things we've seen him consistently interested in is the whole question of the liturgy. We see as if he's rummaging in the old boxes in the attic to find some of the older liturgical robes and objects. But in the notion of the liturgy, we confront ourselves with the sacred space. And that brings us right back to architecture. And here in Rome, of 900 churches, we certainly have quite a few examples of church architecture. Once we start to think about church architecture, the next question becomes that of church decoration. And how do we fill this sacred space? And how do we enhance this sacred space through images? And so on and so forth. So this is a very natural, very, very old thing in the church.
Though the cooperation between art, architecture, and the church is an old and natural thing, it doesn't mean they've always seen eye to eye.
I believe art and religion have taken two very diverse paths. And despite something of a valiant attempt on the part of Pope Paul VI in the 1970s, and despite John Paul II's very warm and welcoming letters to artists, his welcoming of artists, he himself a playwright, that art continues to move in a completely different direction than that of the church, to the point where, in many ways, art is very antagonistic towards the church. If you look at many of the contemporary artists, if you consider cinema as an art form, a great deal of the literature that's produced, it is profoundly hostile to the church, which is an unnatural state of affairs.
To the church, to the Catholic Church, or to Christianity?
I think you can take all three. In this case, we're talking about the Pope, so the primary concern is the Catholic Church. Then we get to the question of Christianity in general. All Christians are offended when people use a cross, as desecrating a cross, and call it art. There's no facet of the Christian religion that thinks this is a good idea. It's a universal offense. But in particular, the Catholic Church being this long-standing artistic institution, we find a particular irreverence, disrespect towards the Catholic Church in most great art forms, in all the great art forms today. So in true Christian form, the church reaches out a hand and says, maybe we could talk about this. Maybe we have things in common. We love beauty, do we not? We love human expression, do we not? Perhaps there is a way that we can put in a dialogue. But this is a dialogue between people between whom there is an abyss right now.
Now, you just touched on it briefly, but here in this start of the third millennium, we've seen these examples of religion being exploited for political ends, really, sometimes using art as the means of communication, of communicating this political message. I'm thinking, for example, of the damning Dutch cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad that outraged the Muslim world, and you mentioned also offensive depictions of Jesus or even of the Pope. But is there a point when art ceases to be art?
Well, that brings us into to the realm of philosophy of aesthetics, and at which point this becomes a big open debate, one that the art world has been having for most of the 20th century and now into the 21st century. What constitutes art? What doesn't constitute art? Today, the concept of what is art is so nebulous and so undefined. It's connected merely to a recognized genius of an individual as opposed to any kind of formal, structural, ideal, objective standard. And so I would steer clear of that question on any kind of, if you will, ecumenical dialogue between the church and art.
Sacred art and the decoration of churches were put into question by the Protestant Reformation. Do you see that as a period which is long gone? Do you think Christianity is over that issue?
I love that question. And I just start with a little note that it's a debate I always put on among my students every year in my Baroque class. I have two students argue for and two against church decoration. I always find it the most interesting of the projects I give all year, and everybody has an opinion and everyone gets involved. This is not a new question. It wasn't actually brought up by the Protestants. It was a question that was brought to the fore in the iconoclast controversy during the course of the 8th century when the Eastern Church eradicated images and the Western Church embraced them. We find it happening even earlier when Gregory the Great has to weigh in against the Bishop of Marseille, who's been destroying images. This is a question the Christians had in the catacombs when they first wondered, is it appropriate to make images in these spaces? So the church for many, many years has confronted cycles and moments of is church imagery a good thing or a bad thing? Is excessive church imagery distracting, too worldly, or is it helpful towards the people? The church has consistently, from the time of the early catacomb painting through the Counter-Reformation, and I truly hope now in the 21st century, the church has consistently affirmed the good of images. And in the Council of Trent, the meeting of December 4th, 1563, the last of the meetings, they extolled the virtues of art in churches so that the faithful get in the habit of remembering, and that looking at the saints and their example will order their lives in order to be more like the saints. And they also reminded us of the necessity to constantly remember the acts of Christ for our salvation. And so it always boils down to a very good way to help people remember not only Christ's tremendous actions towards mankind, but also that there are men and women all around us who have been exemplary, have led exemplary lives. So the question of art in churches, I believe, is a very, very lively, very interesting one, and one that really has to be, once again, hashed out in this period with why are we putting it in and what is it supposed to do?
At a time when more and more people seem to be questioning the relevancy of God in today's world, where do you see art and religion going from here into the third millennium?
Well, again, people have done a lot of questioning in the 2,000 years of Christianity. And many, many times, art has been a very helpful way to assist people to understand the questions and the doubts and the frustrations and the confusion they feel is normal and part of the human experience. And I think of artists like Caravaggio, who showed up in the midst of a tumultuous, incredibly difficult era in 1580 and gave us these vivid pictures of people who looked just like the viewers. The viewers looked at identical copies of themselves, struggling in environments that looked just like their own homes or their local restaurants, and struggling with this light and dark within themselves. And so art has a wonderful way when you find the right artist and you find the right patronage and you're able to infuse the art with the theology and the theology with the art in such a way that we can look at it and feel that we are part of a great experience and that we too can do it. In many ways, you would expect the art form to respond to that call today would be cinema, and it has made a few truly valiant efforts. But unfortunately, cinema most of the time spends its energy denigrating and ridiculing the church, when indeed it's another art form that could, in fact, glorify the stories of the saints.
So you're saying the Catholic Church perhaps should get more involved in producing films.
I'm saying there's actually a lot of interesting stuff going on right now with some great directors starting to tackle religious stories, not unlike Chagall, Matisse, and others in the 1950s, after they'd done every single pagan subject matter possible, they turned their attention to Christian subjects. And as it just so happens, there are several directors and producers, after a lifetime of paganism, seem to be turning their attention to Christian subjects.
Elizabeth Lev is a professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University.